A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. All came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith and the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't suppose I need to remind anybody that the deadline for filing your federal taxes is this week. Yeah, you know, if you're expecting a refund, you gotta file. And the deadline is, I think, Tuesday. Okay, so what about those of you who are not going to get a refund? What kind of example can I give you before I launch into this? How about if there was this super rich guy, okay, like 10 times richer than Bill Gates, and he says, "I'm going to give $10,000 to anyone who asks for it." Wouldn't you ask for it? Wouldn't you feel like an idiot if you didn't? Okay, it's the same sort of way with God's mercy. He offers it to us, but we have to ask for it. This is Divine Mercy Sunday, all right? For those of you who didn't know, this was a feast that was established by Pope St. John Paul II. It was inspired by the writings of St. Faustina Kowalski, a Polish nun who received mystical visions of Jesus. Sometimes during the consecration, she would see him as the infant Jesus running around playing in the sanctuary. She also had the vision that she asked to have made into a picture, which we see here displayed. It's Jesus with one hand raised in greeting, like hello, the other hand pointing to his Sacred Heart and revealing these two beams of light coming out, recalling the blood and water that gushed from his side as a source of mercy flowing from his heart. And at the bottom, a little inscription: Jesus, I trust in you. I know some of you guys here can't see that inscription, but trust me, it's there, okay? Jesus, I trust in you. In the messages that Jesus gave to Saint Faustina, he expresses his desire that people come to him seeking his divine mercy. And a great many times he also expresses his great sadness that there were people who do not take advantage of this before time runs out. See, as people of faith, we believe that Jesus' paschal sacrifice, in other words, his suffering, death, and resurrection, were the one means by which he purchased our eternal salvation. He offers it to us as a gift, but it's up to each one of us to ask for it, to accept it, to take it into our lives, acknowledging him as our Savior, and reforming our lives as a result. All the readings today speak glowingly of God's mercy. The psalm that we sang, okay, the psalmist declares God's divine mercy everlasting. Sons of Israel, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. This guy is really happy, and he wrote this psalm because his sins were forgiven, and he felt it. It turned his misery into victory. Our second reading from St. Paul speaks of the hope that's given to us by Christ's resurrection. He calls it our inheritance that can lead us to joy and can lead to the salvation of our souls. Our gospel passage, however, is really interesting because it describes what the church calls the institution of the sacrament of confession. This is when Jesus breathed on the apostles and he said, "Whoever's sins you forgive are forgiven." And yet so many people object to the sacrament of confession. They say, "I don't need to confess my sins to some guy. I can go straight to God with it. You know, I don't need to go in there. I don't need to hear some priest, you know, speaking over me." But that is exactly wrong. It flies in the face of what we just read, the very clear scriptural description of the commissioning of the church to do just that. Jesus set up the church to be the place to dispense his divine mercy. So we have wonderful doubting Thomas, right? This is part of why it's so hard for us. Thomas isn't going to believe Jesus resurrected unless he can physically touch him, put his hands on Jesus. Got to feel it. And there's a reason for that. It's in our nature. It's how we're made. Okay, we're not just a body like the animals. We're not just a spirit like the angels. We are a unique combination of body and spirit merged together into one. Okay? So we have a physical side and a spiritual side. And all the sacraments work the same way. Last night, after the vigil mass, Father Kyle had baptism. Cute little kid over there. Whole family wore like pink neckties and everything for the little girl. It was really kind of nice to see. But baptism, the word itself, comes from a Greek root word that means to take a bath. So as you feel the water washing the dirt off of your skin, so too is your soul being washed the dirt of its sins. What happens physically in the sacrament happens on the spiritual side. And it's the same way in the sacrament of confession. We need to speak our sins. We need to speak our repentance. We need to hear the words of absolution coming back to us. It may sound like the priest who's in the room talking to us has his voice, but it is God working through the priest as his instrument, from God through the priest to us. And when we hear it physically, we also hear it spiritually. And in that cleansing of our sins, we know that we are truly forgiven. With that forgiveness comes that same joy that our psalmist had. It's the same joy that helps us to more easily forgive other people who have wronged us in our lives, maybe to help us live a little bit more like the idealized Christian community that was described in our very first reading. They all live together in harmony, sharing with each other, forgiving each other, praying daily, having Mass. Can you imagine if the whole world were to do this? What a different place it would be. How different would the internet be? We wouldn't have all this bickering back and forth on the internet. Ha, got you with that. Ha, got you with that. It could truly be a place for the exchange of ideas, learning, and information. If we're dispensing forgiveness to others, we're spreading a little bit of God's divine mercy around. Think of these mass shooters. They don't feel any mercy. You know, they don't feel loved in any way, shape, or form. They are so miserable for the lack of God's mercy that they want to leave this world and take as many people with them as possible on the way out. And that, my friends, is Satan's way. Satan and the fallen angels, who we now call demons, made an irrevocable decision to separate themselves from God, which commits them to eternal misery. And they want everyone else to be just as miserable as they are. And therefore, Satan, as we say, prowls around the world seeking the ruin of souls. Unless those souls take advantage of God's divine mercy. So let's always remember, God's mercy is ours for the asking, but we must ask. Jesus told us to ask. Anything you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Yes, it's true. God knows what we need. God will give us what we ask for, but we have to ask because God wants us to acknowledge our dependence upon Him, our trust in Him. Let's also remember that we can pray for and ask for this divine mercy for other people. When we pray for them, someone asks you to pray for them, you're helping them. Pray for people who don't ask you. Pray for people who have fallen away from the faith. Everyone has a friend or a family member somewhere who is not practicing. And you can, as it were, stand proxy for them. You can obtain indulgences for them and say, you know, even though I'm doing this to earn an indulgence, I do it for the intention of this other person. You can do it for the people in purgatory as well. They will be grateful because they will have felt more of God's mercy that you have helped them to get. You know, St. Faustina reminds us that such prayers please Jesus greatly. He loves to dispense His mercy. He loves to dispense it to everyone available. One of St. Faustina's favorite things is one you probably heard as a kid, right? It's called redemptive suffering. You heard of this? It's like, you know, oh, I got a bobo. And the nuns say, oh, offer it up to God. There's value in that. When you have pain in your life, don't let it go to waste. Offer it to Jesus. Offer to unite it to His suffering on the cross. As St. Paul says, filling up the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. It can help in the expiation of sins and thereby pleases Jesus. Now, St. Faustina recorded many, many mystical experiences in her diary. But don't think that you can't have a mystical experience, because you have one every time you come to Mass. When you are in proper disposition with the Church and you come up and receive the Eucharist, your body and soul is uniting with the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that is the very definition of a mystical experience. Enjoy that moment as much as Faustina enjoyed her conversations with Jesus. Now, I started out this by talking about taxes because I wanted you to think about the deadline. there's a deadline that you know for filing your taxes. The deadline for asking for God's divine mercy is the moment of your last breath. And it is a time that is known only to God. Please, please, don't miss the deadline. God love you.